Dear saints of God, some things never change. Among them are the theological questions that run through the mind of a sinner. Because a theological question that is brought to Jesus in our gospel lesson for today is the exact same question people often think about today. It all happens when this horrific event took place. Now, we don't have a lot of historical data about this outside of the gospel writings, but apparently what had happened was that Pilate had a group of Galileans killed, and if that isn't horrific enough, he added insult to injury by taking the blood of these Galileans and mixing it with sacrificial blood for the temple. Now, it's hard to imagine how difficult this would be. Just the pure tragedy that Pilate would have killed these, and for the reason we're not really sure. And remember that the blood for the sacrifices were thought to be a purifying blood. It was the blood sacrificed of just the choice animals. Everything else was unclean. So you remember the command was to bring an animal that was unblemished. So if you had a lamb or something like this that had a broken leg, you couldn't take this to be sacrificed because it wasn't pure. That's what you'd want to do, though. You'd have a lamb with a broken leg, and well, it's not good for anything anyway. We'll just take it to be sacrificed anyway. But that is not honoring to the Lord. So you can see then what kind of an insult it would be when not only is it not the right animal, but now it is those who are unclean themselves, these Galileans, who are sinners like you and me, to take their blood and to mix it with what is supposed to be the pure sacrificial blood in the temple. This was an insult not only of the tragedy of murder, but also an insult to the temple for which they understood the presence of God. Now, there is no parallel to this kind of thing, but I imagine the grief that would overcome the people of the day would be something like the grief that overcomes the people in our day when terrible tragedies happen. Things like mass shootings of Las Vegas or even closer to home, Umpqua Community College. But this wasn't some crazed gunman. This was a Roman prefect. And it wasn't just a horrific killing, it was also a religious insult. Now, with the news breaking about this event, those gathered tell Jesus what had happened. And based upon Jesus' answer, we can easily surmise the question they asked. This is what Jesus answers in response to their question. He says this, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" So the question that was brought to Jesus would have been something like, was it that these Galileans deserved to die because of some sin they've committed? We know this was a prevalent thought of the day. Do you remember the question that was brought to Jesus about the blind man? Remember that? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? This is the same question that is asked today when disaster hits us. For some reason, this sticks out in my mind. It's not the only example, but it's just one that I always remember. But in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And there were more than just a few famous Christian preachers who said that this hurricane hit New Orleans as God's judgment for the gross sin that goes on there. And I suppose we could apply Jesus' answer to that situation too. Do you think that the sinners in New Orleans are worse sinners than sinners everywhere else? Jesus couples that question with another event that was apparently on the minds of the people of Jesus' day. There was a tower in Jerusalem, and it fell over. And in this tower falling, it kills 18 people. And Jesus says, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? And this is the answer that Jesus gives to his own question. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now that is a very intriguing answer. Let's start first with the simple answer. No. Jesus says that it isn't because these Galileans, or that the 18 on whom the tower fell, it isn't because they are worse sinners than anyone else that this happened to them. And so we should say the same about events that arise in our day as well. Is it because the citizens of New Orleans are worse that the Hurricane Katrina hit them? No. Is it because of the sin of Las Vegas that a gunman opened fire on an open crowd at a concert? No. Is it because of sins that you have committed that God is causing disastrous things to happen in your life? No. Now, that is counterintuitive. It's interesting that the assumption that comes up, not only in our day, but also in the day of Jesus and everyone since. And there's a reason for it. You see, we are born into sin, and because of that, we have a default religion, or a default theological position, if you will. It's our native religion that does not reflect the teachings of the Bible. Just like when you buy a new computer or a new smartphone, there are the default settings, and these are the settings that come from the factory. And if you want your computer or your phone set up differently, then you have to go in and change the default settings. Well, born into sin, we come with certain beliefs about God and how the world works, and these are our default settings. And the thing of it is, we have to be instructed away from that and toward a teaching of the Bible. Our default theological position is that God needs to be appeased. If you make God happy, then things that are good will happen to you. And if you do things that are contrary to the will of God, then he will punish you with bad things that happen. Now, just a note, I'm not here talking about cause and effect. If I decide to drive 100 miles per hour down the road while drunk, the chances are pretty good that I'm going to crash and hurt myself. Those are just consequences of actions. What I'm talking about here is God sending us good things or bad things based upon our actions according to his will or not. So if bad things happen, if I get cancer, if I get in a car accident, if my loved ones perish, is it all because God is punishing me because of the things that I have done? That is what we intuitively think about God, and that is why almost all religions function off of some system like that in one form or another. All religions except one. The teaching of Christianity is entirely opposite of that. Christianity teaches us that whether good things or bad things happen is entirely disconnected of what God thinks of us. That the events of our life, good things or bad things, are not a barometer of whether God is happy with us or mad at us. Part of the problem theologically with the default position is that it assumes too much about yourself. It assumes that there is some good in you that is worth rewarding. Now, I know that I cite it probably a little bit too much in sermons, but the confession of sin that we have in our common service is very instructive on this. We confess, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and I justly deserve temporal and eternal punishment. What we are saying and what the Bible teaches is that because of my sin, God doesn't owe me anything. And if he were to give me what I deserve, I would be getting punishment in this life and the next. So for us to think, oh, I got the job, or I'm getting good fortune because I've been obedient, that completely overlooks daily sins and what I deserve because of them. Instead, we should look at the blessings in our lives, even the smallest blessings, and see them as the mercy of God. So the fact that I have food to eat is evidence that God does not give me what I deserve. The fact that I have people that care about me is evidence that God is not punishing me for my sins. The fact that I can enjoy another beautiful sunset is evidence that God does not deal with me according to my sins. As soon as we think that we have what we have because I'm being rewarded for how good I am, is the moment we don't take an honest look at the gravity of our sins. And that points out the wisdom of Jesus' answer. Because Jesus' short answer is no, but that's not his full answer. His full answer is no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You see, we should not look at those who suffer and say, aha, they are suffering because of the hand of God. They are worse sinners than everyone else. However, we should recognize that we are sinners too. And if we got what we deserved, then we would be punished in such a way. So when I see a disaster take place, it shouldn't lead me to say, look at those sinners over there. That's how the Pharisee responds to disaster. Instead, when disaster strikes, it should serve as a reminder that according to our own sin, we deserve such punishment, and that should lead us to repent. We aren't owed anything in this life. God could decide to lock us all in prison until we breathe our last breath and there be no injustice with God. The fact that he gives us so much shows us how merciful he truly is. God does not operate on the level that we think he does. That good are rewarded with good and bad are punished. If he did that, who of us could stand? As I said before, thinking we deserve anything already assumes too much. But there is one test case on this point. There is one who would not be assuming too much because he is one without sin. The one who knew no sin, either according to his nature or even according to his thoughts, words, or deeds. This is, of course, Jesus. The only person to ever live free from all sin. We know that Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Father, and we know that the Father delighted in him, the Son. Two times he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we have it on divine authority that Jesus was perfectly obedient, and we have it on divine authority that God the Father delighted in the Son. So, can we assume that Jesus' life was encompassed by nothing but pure joy and bliss and no struggle or pain whatsoever? Quite the opposite. Isn't it ironic that the one person who actually deserves bliss for being good instead receive the punishment of a sinner? And I don't just mean bad things happened. I mean the actual punishment that is due a sinner the wages of sin is death, is given to the only one who never actually committed a sin. And this is exactly why Christianity derails the thinking of our natural religion. The reason good things and bad things happen are completely disconnected from what God thinks of us because of the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus. Because what Jesus did that day is make himself the stand-in substitute for you, the sinner. The sinless one, Jesus, suffered the full wrath of God in your place so that you wouldn't. The reason we know bad things happen isn't because you've committed a particular sin, because that sin has already been atoned for. The wrath of God has been poured out. There's nothing left to pour out upon you. Upon the cross, Jesus was your stand-in, and there's no wrath left in Jesus. This is why our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks so much about repentance. He even goes into a parable about a vine dresser who is patiently waiting 3 years, no, one more year with fertilizer to see if we can get this tree to produce fruit before we cut it down. Why? Because God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Jesus talks so much about repentance because repentance is simply acknowledging one's own sin and the need for Christ's atoning sacrifice. That Christ already paid the price for all sin, but when one refuses to repent, they're saying, I don't want Christ to be my stand-in because my sins aren't sins. They're saying, I'll be my own stand-in. And the day is coming, Jesus warns us, that they just might get what they're asking for. That the tree would be cut down and thrown into the fire. Blood spilt and towers falling are not part of God's judgment, but they are reminders that he is the judge and there is a judgment day. And so, what does God think of you, and how do you know it? Well, God delights in you. He favors you, and he has prepared eternal joys and everlasting life for you with him. And how do you know it? Well, it's not by the circumstances of this or that. We poor sinners enjoy the finest blessings that this life has to offer. Meanwhile, the faithful confessors of the faith are locked up in prison and awaiting death this very hour in North Korea, Sudan, and Pakistan. Pray for them. The reason we know God delights in you is because of that cross, which symbolizes the death that Jesus died as a replacement for you. And if Jesus did that, then God delights in you. The reason we know God delights in you is that font, which is the place where he attached his promise to water poured upon your head in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if God did that, then he delights in you. No hurricane, no mass shooter, no falling tower undoes the death and resurrection of Jesus. And no hurricane, mass shooter, or falling tower takes away your baptism into Christ. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.